Voices of Defiance, Special Report Number 3, Continuum Power Hour, recorded and streamed live, Sunday, September 27th, 2015.
I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
Woohoo! Two-way cloaking fight! Two-way cloaking fight! Hello, I am your host of Voices Defiance, Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And with me is the woman who desperately wants a cloaking device of her own, one preferably with kid-proof headphones. Her name is Shannon.
That would be awesome. We need to make that happen.
Yeah, I sense a Christmas gift coming your way.
Kid-proof? It's got to be kid-proof.
Exactly. We'll be talking Season 4, Episode 3 of Continuum Power Hour today. And just a little reminder, you can catch us at GunnaGeek.com. Go to the top right-hand corner of the Voices Defiance podcast page to find all the great ways you can reach us, including our voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. So, first of all, we are a Defiance podcast. Shannon and I are just taking a few moments to go through the last season of Continuum, since we are desperately waiting of news of hashtag Renew Defiance, right, Shannon?
Desperately.
Have you heard anything?
Freaking four-letter word.
Have you heard anything?
I've heard nothing, but I could tell you that at the Comic-Con that I'm about to go to, it was just announced that the sci-fi is going to have a table out there for their brand new stuff that they're promoting, for their brand new shows. That makes me a little angry, as you would imagine.
Yep.
You would think they would promote the things that they already have.
You would think.
I believe we've gone past the mark where it's acceptable to wait, because seriously, what is the holdup?
I have no idea.
You know, I was having pretty good vibes right there at the end because I was pretty positive that they renewed Dark Matter and Killjoys pretty quickly. And even though they had smaller ratings, they're really good shows. They had smaller ratings than Defiance. I would like them as a block, all three of them, to come back. But why would you bring those two back already when we're still sitting on our hands? I don't understand it.
Okay, so I can speculate on a few things, and I was thinking about this since the last time we podcasted, which is just a few days ago. So, first of all, we've got the fact that this might be the final season that they are trying to develop, the season four of Defiance. And take a look at what happened with Continuum. It's a different network, but take a look at what happened with Continuum. They delayed an announcement, and then finally they came out with an announcement that said, we're going to give you a six-show final season. It was the same way with Chuck. It was the same way with a few other properties. So I think that's what we might be hedging on, is that they're saying, okay, we're going to give you a limited run of episodes. But the other problem, though, is the fact that they did a season three finale. So
yeah, they did. They wrapped up, you know, and that's truly the problem, because there's nothing that they left unturned. Everything is wrapped up, packaged nicely, and tied with a bow. There's no more war that's going on in the town. There's no more battle that's about to happen. Even though you have Nolan and Doc in space, everyone that's left in the town, the Tars have been pardoned. Arissa's the new law keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda's still the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything is settled. There's nothing left to do. And that was wrapped up way too nicely. And I didn't like it then. And I said so then, that if they're going to end it, they could end it right there and it would make a difference to anything else.
Right. So we'll see. I'm hoping for an announcement this week, but this could drag on for a long, long time.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure I'm blocked by sci-fi by now on Twitter. I have pounded them with memes.
Right.
With, like the one I did the other day. I'm like, wait on you, sunshine.
I know. So, okay, First of all, thank you very much. We got a lot of likes on Facebook right now this past week, which was phenomenal. Thank you guys very much for doing that. But I don't think they're going to block you on Twitter. I think that they're just in decision mode. And contrary to popular belief, where they have said in the past that one show doesn't depend on another, there's a limited number of broadcast slots. So if they're hedging the development of a new show against the time slot that Defiance is, I don't know. They could also be wrangling with contracts as well, because that was a sticking point, as we have previously discussed many times for last year.
Right, because the actresses' contracts. I mean, Julie Benz right now, she's doing Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that she can't come back to Defiance, but that already proves that they're like, you know what, this is taking too long. I've got to make money. And they're going on to other things.
Yeah, and you can't blame Julie. At all.
You can't blame any of them for the network dragging their ass. So
Suncast in the chat said, Sci-Fi is just screwing themselves at this point. Yes, yes, they are.
You know what? But they do it every single time. Every time. It was so awesome because earlier in the week, Arissa Wi-Fi on Twitter, she did this thing. And she's like, we should petition for some competition and have a new Sci-Fi channel. I'm like, okay, I can be down with that.
Right.
I would totally be down with that. Well, have a brand new network.
There was talk of doing that.
Gate World for a while did that, right?
Well, there was talk about doing that a couple of years ago. And the talk was, we're going to get together a channel to get to our roots. And I think that's what actually pushed Skiffy, Sci-Fi, whatever you want to call them, back into the realm of actually doing space shows. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't do it. Okay, Weather Channel as well has redefined themselves back to their roots. Nobody wants to watch the Weather Channel for that extra programming they put on there. Heck, in the evening, I actually wanted to see what the frickin' weather was, and I didn't want to see a long show and then at the tail end see a quick little 30-second blurb on what the weather was. No, I wanted to see what the radar was locally. I wanted to see what right. It was doing throughout the country. I had plans to make, and that's what I wanted to do. You know, the CNN headline news approach where you did the same show every half hour throughout the day, that's what is Weather Channel's bread and butter. They moved away from that because a lot of people were using the internet to get that same sort of information. Well, yeah, I could do that too, but I just want to throw it up there, have it on the background, get a good sense on what it is, and then move on. Heck, I record the local news on my DVR just so I can see the weather report from time to time. I don't actually watch the local news every day, but I do every once in a while when it is important, when I have some outdoor activity planned or whatever.
But with the Sci-Fi channel, I think the changes they've made are useless, because even though we're finally, like we've talked about this before in the Voice of Defiance podcast, we're finally seeing a lineup with Killjoys and Dark Matter and Defiance that has potential sticking around for a long time if they would just let it. But we haven't seen a lineup like that since Stargate.
Yeah, and The Expanse is coming. 12 Monkeys. There's a few other shows.
The Expanse.
They've had some failures. They've had some failures, in my opinion. Okay. And the failures that I will point out off the top of my head are Helix and Haven. Those were just not great
Haven's
shows.
Haven's been going on for a long time, though.
They're just starting their last season in a couple of weeks here. And it'll be 13 episodes, I believe. They split the last season last year and this year.
But how many seasons are they on?
Fifth season, I think, the second half of the fifth.
See, that's not a failure then. If it's made it past its third season, it's not a failure.
Well, okay, but I will consider it a failure just because they didn't have anything else on. I mean, they shouldn't have put, it was a good 1 year run, but after that, it just got, it's like Heroes on NBC, which is another failure show in my opinion.
Oh my God. Okay, hang on. They have rebooted Heroes. Have you seen that?
It's not, bringing it back. Okay, the technical term is a continuation. It's not a reboot. Because it's the same story. It's just continued.
What channel is that from?
NBC, which is Sci-Fi.
Okay, I was about to say.
Yeah.
Man, if there was ever a show to have a continuation with, I vote Firefly.
Okay, and then there was Lost Girl and a few others. It's not Fox, at least.
Thank God.
Did you see Minority Report this week?
No.
Okay, I watched a little bit of it, and it was just so
was
cheesy.
Somebody was telling me something about it. What happened?
It's a okay, again, Limitless, which is on CBS, and then Minority Report, which are on Fox, were continuations of the movies. This is premiere week in the United States, by the way. That's what we're talking about. So, Limitless was okay. I had it on the background when I was doing laundry yesterday. Minority Report, it was just way too cheesy. I mean, almost human which was on last year, which they canceled, it was light years ahead of Minority Report. And I think they were just banking on the success of the movie or the book to make a good television show. And in my opinion, it didn't hit the mark. Now, I have heard that they have radically changed things for the second episode of Minority Report, so we'll see. But I don't want to waste my time with shows that are not good. And this year, Sci-Fi has made good shows.
Okay, so these shows you talk about, Minority Report and Limitless, are those NBC shows?
Okay, so the premise behind Limitless is you take this pill that allows you to use your entire brain. So you can super think your way out of just about anything. And
basically, take the blue pill?
Exactly. Well, it was a clear pill. And I guess it had some blue specks in it, but it was a clear pill. And Bradley Cooper was in the movie. And he's also the executive producer of the show and will be on the show from time to time as well.
Here's the funny thing for me. You know how many cons I go to, right? Yeah,
way more than me.
Way more than I've got two coming up that I'm extremely excited about. And through all these conventions that I've gone to, I have yet to see a booth or a table or anybody standing by that belongs to Sci-Fi. I've always thought, okay, well, they're not going to be that stupid because people are going to bombard them with, hey, what the hell have you been doing to the show, right? So New York Comic Con has announced that the Sci-Fi is going to have a booth out there promoting a few other brand new shows that I've never heard of before. So why now? And why those shows?
Sci-Fi would be 12 Monkeys, The Expanse, Killjoys, and Dark Matter. That's what the Sci-Fi slate would be. NBC has Heroes, and I think that's it in the kind of the geeky realm. And so ABC has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is going on its third season. New boss, yay!
I am excited about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know.
Have you seen the 4-minute trailer for it?
No.
Okay. I would definitely go.
I'm excited about Agent Carter, too.
Yeah, and that will be the mid-season replacement show. Yeah, and that'll be about the January timeframe. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming on. But, okay, Defiance, Renew Defiance, still no announcement, still even nothing from anybody on it. So,
all of our listeners, please hashtag Renew Defiance and tick them off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say.
So the other thing I was going to say about Defiance is by commenting, I have subscribed to a couple of these forums that are cancel or renew forums out there on TV in general. And there continues to be overwhelming support for Defiance to renew it. And there's a few comments that said something about, I don't know how they can bring Nolan back or whatever. And I would reply to their comments and say, hey, look, Kevin Murphy came on our podcast and he said that the story can't continue. And this is what they were thinking. And I think
time travel.
Well, time travel and then get Doc Yule out of the skin or out of her makeup, make her a skin job. And I think that's.
Well, that would make the price go down, too.
Maybe, but also the pain on her body. So.
Oh, yeah, because her eyes are not.
Well, not necessarily her eyes, but the adhesive that puts that stuff.
What was it? It was sticking to her? Yeah.
Yeah, the mask and everything that they put on. So, all right, we will continue to talk about hashtag Renew Defiance until we get an announcement. That's one of the reasons we're continuing to do this podcast, because we just want to be there when the announcement is made, or that week anyway.
Renew Defiance.
Yes.
Freaking sippy.
So, we are now at the halfway point here in the United States of America. Up in Canada, you're
finally in the third episode.
You're a week ahead of us. But here in the United States, we saw Power Hour on Friday night. And yeah.
Let me just tell you something, and I'm not sure I heard her name right. Was it Maura?
Who are you talking about?
Kellogg's new bodyguard.
Oh, Vasquez is her
name. No.
Yeah,
was
the
it?
Bodyguard. Her name is Vasquez. Go look it up in IMDb.
She walked in and she's coming up to me. I'm like, okay, I like her.
Yeah.
She kicks some ass.
She is. Now, she is not new to sci-fi. She is not new to the genre.
She's been lots of things.
Yeah, she's in one of the main actors on Helix. But she goes back. She's been on Fringe. She's been on Stargate. She's been on a lot of stuff. And it's a lot like one episodes, one-offs. But she has cred. And oh my gosh, she is amazing on screen.
She definitely was. The face-off between her and Kira was awful.
Oh, yeah.
But just her coming down the street and knocking out his bodyguards. She's like, I did introduce myself.
I was thinking that. Kellogg, you were so dense. And then you knew he was going to skeeve her into the hot tub afterwards, too. That was just, oh.
Yeah, she's smart enough, though. She would have brought a weapon.
Right. Well, and what's the biggest threat to him at that point in time? It's Kira, and she just scared her off, so she's good all night.
Okay. Oh, what you were talking about? Double.
Yeah, the double fight with Garza in the suit, which she still has. She left with it.
She left with it.
And Kara with her.
Not that it works for more than 10 seconds, but it's still there.
It's just in the building. I mean, she could walk around town with that. I guess the only problem is it has a limited charge to it. So eventually the charge is going to go away.
Yeah, she'll have to come back. So we had a lot of, we lost Lucas this episode.
Yes. Rest in peace, Mr. Lucas.
I was really liking him taking over Alec's place.
Yes.
To be the voice in her head, because Alec is, to me, don't get me wrong, I like the character, but he's a little whiny sometimes, and sometimes. I find myself not liking him.
His girl isn't there anymore.
Well, his girl protected and kicked ass.
I know. Awesome. I think we'll see her back in the final three episodes.
I find Alec a little...
A little snot?
That's a good one, but puny is what I'm looking for.
He absolutely is puny, and his superpower is behind the computer, the tech development, the corporate world, kind of like Kellogg. It's just Kellogg has more experience than him. Kellogg has more knowledge of the future, so even now, even though they've changed the future a little bit, he still knows the big blocks that he can invest in and make even more and more money, gaining more and more power.
I thought it was funny that Alec's trying out a new job, right, at the police station. Why would you think you could walk into a station and not have both Kira and Carlos trying to get you from both sides? Why?
He went into it a little bit of idealistic thinking, absolutely, but he was okay until he lied to Carlos about finding the van and Lucas.
I really don't like the way that Kira and Carlos are kind of dividing now. They're splitting.
Yeah.
She's not trusting him anymore. And although he clearly knows that she's up to something, like when at the end when he watched her talking to...
Yeah, so he knows about Lucas.
He knows what she's doing, and he's letting her do it. Because, obviously he's in love with her.
Well, I don't know.
I think he's in love with her.
I think that ship has passed. I don't think
that maybe, but I still think he has feelings for her, because on the last episode, he's like, well, would you actually go back if you could? She's like, hell yeah. So, and he was disappointed. So I think he's actually in love with her, and he's just going to let her do it.
Well, Garza basically came out and said, what future are you going to go to? I've been saying it for the last two episodes. Her future is gone. Her Sam doesn't exist today. Yeah. So I don't know what she's planning on doing.
I don't see her going back. I see her making a decision. But I like the fact that when Brad had a chance, he didn't step up. He doesn't want to be in that lead role because he can't be in that role and still try to protect her.
Right. Okay. So I read an article today or this past week. Since we podcasted last, so only a couple of days ago. I can't remember. Time is all really wonky.
We podcast Thursday.
Yeah, right. So I read an article since Thursday, and this is Sunday, about Simon Barry. And his original plan on Continuum was 7 to 10 seasons. We are in an abbreviated season 4. So they have not had more than half the time to really set up things that they wanted to.
They haven't even had the full story.
So we're getting a lot of movement in an individual episode, which was supposed to take a quarter or a half of a season to take place. And that's affecting a lot of the relationships. That's affecting what's going on for different people. Like, I imagine Emily was supposed to be around for a while, but I bring it up right now because of the whole Kagami Theseus Julian issue.
Oh, yes.
The fact that he is basically Kagami's stepdad now.
Because he moved in at the end.
Right. Or at least around the house or whatever, right? But he's there with Kagami, and that's all timey-wimey right there.
You see the look on his face when he looked at the boy, and he's like, hang on.
And they perfectly timed it, right? So they're talking about the future or whatever, and then Kagami ruins the building that he was building. He's like,
was that not symbolic?
It was very symbolic. Oh, it was great. Yeah, Suncast in the chat.
Temper tantrum, run out.
Yeah, right. Suncast in the chat said, that whole situation is weird. Yes, it was kind of weird. Absolutely.
So in the article that you read with Simon Barry, if they were planning on 7 to 8 seasons, clearly Kira wasn't going back anytime soon. But does he have hopes of making this into a movie like they did Firefly? When they didn't finish Firefly, they make it into Serenity.
No.
Are we going to see a continuation of Continuum?
So Firefly got the movie because its story was never concluded. Like right now, you would not get a Defiance movie because the story is concluded. And there really isn't that much of a fan base. Firefly had a lot more fan base than Defiance does at the moment. So
no, I'm talking about Continuum.
I know. Moving on to Continuum. again, one, I don't think it has the fan base. Two, I think they got the 6 episodes specifically to tie up all the storyline. And then after that, it's done. There's no need to go back to it. Everybody's going to move on with their careers. There's not going to be this overwhelming, oh, we need more continuum. It's a great show. I love the show. I love what they're doing with the time travel. I just don't see it.
It just doesn't have a big enough fan base.
Yeah, I can't see it getting a movie.
And you know, like you said, it's the same thing with Defiance. Because again, when I go to the conventions, it's so disappointing when I'm looking around for anything merchandise-wise that has the logo of Defiance. I don't care if it's an 8x10 picture. There's nothing there. And every time I ask anybody, oh, what's that show? I don't know what the show you're talking about. I'm like, really? You don't know Defiance? It's been on for 3 seasons? They don't know.
There's a lot of content out there.
There's
today.
No market for it. And I don't understand. The marketing for sci-fi sucks. I don't understand. I don't understand it. I truly
don't.
Well,
okay. So there's a stigma out there. Even today in this geek welcoming culture, there's a stigma of any show that goes on sci-fi. So that same show, if it was on USA, if it was on NBC, if it was on ABC, so we're skipping companies there, but if that same show was on ABC, I'll bet you it would have gotten a more welcome mat than
Clearly.
It does. But it's not an ABC type of show. ABC is owned by Disney. They like the family friendly stuff.
Oh my God, I wish Defiance was on AMC. That's what I wish.
So,
because
yeah, if it was on AMC, if it was on Showtime or preferably HBO, it would have gotten phenomenal ratings.
But you know, you can't get the ratings unless you put it out there and promote it.
They did try to promote it. There was tons of promotion the first 2 years, especially with the Tryon game. It was the most intertwined media frenzy launch ever. And honestly, the game just didn't resonate with game players as much as other games like Halo, Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, that sort of thing. And I can't explain it. I think it's the stigma against specifically Skiffy. So, I don't know.
Well, yeah, you know, even though I'm a huge gamer on Defiance, but this season they started charging for...
Yeah, they went to the pay-to-play mode, yeah.
Right, and it pops up, I'm like, I don't want that. Get that off my screen, you know, so...
It's the only way they can afford the servers.
Right.
I mean, I actually bought not one, not two, not three, but I think 4 or 5 copies of the game, because I had 3 of them in the house. My son had a console, my daughter had a console, I had a console, so that was 3 of them. I believe I sent one to Sean at the time and a couple other people. So like 5 or 6 games that I personally bought. And that's when the games were like $40, $50. Nobody was buying the game at those prices. And then they went to the free one about a year ago. And how do you sustain yourself when you can't sell the game, when you can't sell in the game to play stuff? So there's that. But Tryon's Defiance is a different economic property than Sci-Fi's Defiance.
Okay, but here's my question. You were saying that they were promoting it really good.
Yeah, they were.
Last year.
They had Dodge sponsorship and everything.
Yeah, but Dodge is still around inside the game. I haven't really noticed any commercials for Dodge during Defiance.
No, there was a couple.
Had they taken them from them?
But it wasn't a Defiance specific.
Okay, but last year, in between seasons 2 and 3, they are promoting. I mean, you always saw what I call the main characters. You had Julie Benz, Tony Curran, Jamie Murray, and Greg Bowler. All 4, they were in Monte Carlo. I mean, they promoted the entire summer worth of stuff to get a 3rd season. So what does it say when right now you're getting no promotion to try to get a 4th season? There's none. They're hardly doing any kind of cons.
Well, the same
they
thing
did not get invited to the San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, the same thing happened to Continuum. It went into a black hole for, I don't know, 9 months. And it was, I remember checking every once in a while, did they renew or cancel Continuum? Am I looking forward to another season or not? I mean,
it went a long time without any kind of word.
I think why they had to do it is because if they left it the way it was, word would have gotten out about how it didn't end. At the end of season 3, it did not end, and they needed to conclude it. Otherwise, nobody's going to buy it later. Like Alphas. Alphas ended with a huge cliffhanger in season 2. And nobody
didn't come back.
Yeah, nobody cares about the series anymore because it's like, oh, what happened? I don't know. Nobody knows. It's just gone. And nobody wants that. They want a completion. They want to get there to their ending no matter what it is.
Well, I hope that they have a great ending with Continuum, because as much as I love Defiance, I do like Continuum. And I would like to see, I wish it would have continued on for those 7 or 8 seasons. I think they had great story potential. And with the characters kept evolving, and I mean, there's so much potential here, but I think sci-fi squanders the stuff that they have.
They do. They do. Okay, let's get back to the episode and finish it off.
Let's get back.
So Carlos interrogates Travis in the jail, and Kieran, Travis, and Carlos are in there at the beginning. And that was kind of, I don't know if any conversation like that would have taken place in front of a prisoner. Like Kira and Carlos talking in front of Travis, that would never actually happen in real life.
No, but at this point, Carlos is the only one that's behind.
Yeah, and he knows it the whole time because he's dealing with people from the future. He knows that. He's come to terms with that, and he's just trying to smartly move forward. And now he's got Dylan, who's kind of screwing him over a little bit. Did you see that when they were talking to Kellogg?
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, oh, come on.
I still don't like his character. I'd be ready.
Who, ready Carlos or Dylan?
Yeah, Dylan. God, I like Carlos' character.
Yeah.
I don't like Dylan. I have never liked Dylan. He's just a pompous.
He is, and I think that, again, we were talking about this being a 7 or 10 series long thing. I think Dylan and Carlos would have become arch enemies eventually, and that just didn't happen. So we're getting it in an abbreviated form right now.
Right, because Carlos is a straightforward kind of cop, and Dylan is a dirty one.
Yeah,
he was dirty from the beginning, and it would always kind of clash with the way Carlos' idea of his job would have been.
Right. Okay, so the future pen is super magnetic. It's about magnets. That's actually a joke back to like Marvel Comics where everything is solved with magnets. So that's kind of funny. Oh, Garza finds the super suits and mama like.
I know. And Kira's like, we're not here for that.
I'm like, whatever. If I want to get out of here alive, I'll take one of those suits. Suit up.
I think Kira should have let Garza blow it up.
Yeah,
I think that was a mistake.
But Alec was like, don't do it because it's going to actually explode the entire city. I think it would have. And in the promo for next week at the end of the episode, I saw at least the red bubble that grew out over the entire city. It's going to destroy the whole city.
I didn't see that because it cut my DVR.
I know. I hate that. Sometimes I actually click the end time to like 2 or 5 minutes later just so I can catch the promos.
So you had a bubble going over the city?
Well, it was a red circle that started in the warehouse and then just sort of enveloped. It was a simulation, enveloped the whole city. So, yeah, it would be bad if they would blow it up. And from that perspective, yeah. But Garza didn't hear any of that. So, as far as she knows, Kira stopped it because of her love, Brad. Which,
or her, yeah, all her personal reasons.
Yeah, right. Which, Brad kind of screwed himself there.
I'm telling you, I always like it when Garza and Kira team up. They have such great fighting skills.
Yeah. And you know they're going to end up fighting each other.
They always end up fighting each other. That's the point of it.
Right.
Neither one of them trust each other. That's the great part of it. And both of them can kick each other's butt. It's great.
Absolutely. Okay. So, Alec, it was great. He developed the failsafe to knock Garza out just in case. And then Kira's like, yeah, that's great. But now she's unconscious and I can't move her.
I got to carry her out. Dead weight.
Oh, I thought Marcellus was going to last a little bit longer because he's a name brand character. He's been a bit part in a lot of stuff, but I thought he was going to last longer than 3 episodes.
Well, they needed to remove him so you can have
the conflict in the group.
The conflict between, yeah, Soren. The conflict between Brad and the new guy.
Yeah, Soren is his name, I guess. All right. Anything else that you can remember?
That was a good episode. I liked it. What do you call the third episode in the middle of 6?
Mid season. The mid-season finale, which we would call.
Mid-season.
Yeah.
I think up to this point, like you said earlier, it feels kind of rushed, obviously, because we only have 6 episodes left.
Yep.
But I like that he moved in with the mother and child at the end. I think that's going to have significance, obviously.
Yeah. That was
Kagami.
That was amazing. This isn't the first time that we've run into Mrs. Kagami either. I'm stretching my brain, but I think she's been involved in the series before.
She was
like when she was pregnant?
She was a nurse. I think she was a nurse.
No, because Kagami was born the day that they blew up the building. That Kagami actually... So he's born the day that he died.
Right, but she was seen that day.
Right. Well, there was a whole thing about they brought in the future moms. Or like Kellogg's mom. He was brought on board and she was pregnant and she died. So I don't know. It's the whole timey-wimey thing. They never explained that, how he still exists and he should have died.
This is the reason I've always liked Continuum. Unlike the other shows that I watch.
Yeah.
They're predictable. I mean, I can sit here and say, okay, I think this character is going to do this. I have never been able to do that with Continuum. I have never, ever. They always throw me in. Just when I think I figured out everything there is to think about, I'm wrong. And I like that because it's not a cookie cutter show, you know? Right. I have no idea what Chin's going to do. I don't understand the path that he's taking. I think I know, and I, like I've said before, I think that Kellogg is the older man, the seer that that Chin is walking with, but I don't know.
Right.
I'm probably completely wrong.
Yeah, you always are. Absolutely, completely wrong. No, actually, you've been pretty, you've been pretty good.
I don't know. I just, that's what I've always liked about Continuum. It throws me, you have to sit down and think about what the heck just happened? What's going on? Where's right. this path leading? So that's what I've always liked about Continuum.
Right. Well, okay. So next week, we get the 40th episode in the series, the fourth episode in season four. So a lot of fours. And it's called Zero Hour. So, I mean, they couldn't have called it Fourth Hour or anything.
They should have. Somebody should have thought about that. Probably only you, though.
Right. So we'll talk about it next week, but the writer... Oh, we didn't talk about the writer and the writers and the director. So this episode, episode 3 of Power Hour, was written by Jeremy Smith and Todd Ireland. And I think they did a pretty good job. And it was directed, as we talked about last time, by David Frazee. This is his fifth Continuum episode. But next week, pay attention to who wrote the episode. I think you'll like what you see. It's an actual actor that you might actually know. And
me?
Well, I think a lot of people, I think the listener will know as well. Well, we'll talk about it next. It's called a tease, Shannon. It's a tease. Stay
and you're
tuned.
Teasing me very well, baby.
Yeah. Stay tuned for next week. All right. You have any last words for the week, Miss Shannon?
No. Just more. Renew Defiance.
I know. Renew Defiance. Okay. I mentioned it before. We had a lot of Facebook likes this week. I have no idea where these people came out of the woodwork for, but thank you very much for all the likes on
that.
Facebook. Yeah, it was like every day we got like 3, 4, 5 more. It was great. And then also on Twitter, just a lot of hashtag Renew Defiance. A lot. Just do it. Do it. Do it. All right. Anything else, Shannon?
No. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, we sure did jump around a lot on this show. And thinking, why do we do that? And I know the answer, because Sean is not sitting here beside me to distract me. There's no red tape needed at this moment.
That's right.
Well, we could talk, and I could look at you, and I could tell when you're about to talk, and Sean's not over here distracting me with a bucket on his head, and
I miss
that
Sean.
Is why this runs so smoothly.
Get it? We need to get him on again.
Maybe I can talk him into it.
Yeah, all right. Well, tell you what. We're live on the air right now, but we'll talk afterwards. I might have an idea. I don't know. Okay.
It ain't gonna work.
You're right. It won't. All right. So that's it for this week. Thank you very much for dropping by. We will be back next week, right? You don't have a con next week? You'll be home? Because it's in 2 weeks.
I leave
right?
on the night.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll be back here next week, and we will talk Zero Hour. So that's it. Thanks for dropping by, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesOdefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com. Or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled After the Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hell bugs.
I'm looking at pictures that my clan sent me. They had a clan meetup yesterday, a clan group battle on the game.
Yeah.
So you have like all these like 40 different characters standing beside each other. And Defy Down Under, she wears antlers in the game. Her character wears antlers.
Great. Like some of the terrorists that we saw it was season 2, right? Yeah, season 2. Like with the guy with the shotgun, you know, the terrorist.
Somebody had antlers on?
Yeah, didn't you see that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, in season two, when the miners went to go hijack the EREP convoy, and the guy with the shotgun shells in his on his mask and stuff, it had antlers.
Oh, you're talking about the red mask guy, right?
Yeah, but I think the guy he was with had antlers on, and some of the spirit riders have it as well.
I'm going to have to go back and look at that, because I can't remember that. I mean, I remember that episode. That's the one where they peed all over Pottinger.
That, exactly, yeah.
That was a great moment. But in the game, you get it for different seasons, like the solstice, the winter season. They give you antlers and stuff. You know, you earn them by doing different missions.
Okay.
So she has antlers, just like you earn different costumes and outfits and headgear.
Okay.
She wears antlers all the time. It's so funny.
Okay. Also, we had somebody on Blab on Friday night that on Starling Tribune that mentioned there's a new app out there called Nerd Out app, and it has a bunch of con schedule stuff on there, not just for one con, but a lot of cons. You might want to check that out.
Nerd app?
Nerd app. No, Nerd Out. Nerd out. And I can't remember if it's two words or not. Now, the app itself doesn't have a lot of raving reviews or whatever, but since you're con going, I thought you might want to actually try to check it out.
Well, yeah, because if it's a con going, then I'll have a list of people who's going to go to the cons. Like, I'm excited because just last night they announced more people at New York. Like, Lucy Lawless is going to be in New York,
right?
But she's going to be in Dallas the week after.
Well, if you're going to do the con, might as well, you know.
Yep. So far, there's really nobody at the New York Comic Con other than Claudia Black that I'm wanting to see. I mean, you're going to have your Firefly people there. I was going to spend money on getting a picture taken or autograph with Gina Torres, who played, you know, Zoe on Firefly. But I don't even see it listed. New York has confused me, because normally I can find it pretty quick and it's out and anyone that is there can sign autographs or take pictures, but I can't find anything where Claudia Black's going to sign or take pictures. And she's the only one I'm really interested in blowing my money on.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.